Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, and I'm filling in for Matt Michaels. And joining me is Vegas Trump guy, Rob Bossolari. Rob, how the hell are you, man?
I'm good. Why not? Let's say we're good. I'm good like Scorpio Sky. I've got a second wind.
Hey, man, there you go. That's all that anybody can ask for. Well, dude, we've had a crazy week of pro wrestling, and we're going to have an even crazier week coming up, because as you can see on the screen, this week alone, Raw, NXT, SmackDown, I don't know about Speed, NXT, Great American Bash, which just so happens to be running head-to-head with All In Texas, or Y'all In, and Saturday Night's Main Event, and WWE Evolution. Ah, dude. Quite a week.
It sounds like an exciting week for one company. I don't know about the other one, because All In better not suck. They're literally assembling it in front of our eyes.
Hey, man. The thing is, say whatever you will about the counter programming, and I know Tony Khan, actually, I don't have the graphic, but he mentioned that it was good that, you know, that how they've been building All In, and the last 2 weeks, it's basically come into focus. But before that, how long have they had to be able to build up this show? But I do have to say, MJF had some pretty interesting comments that just hit the internet actually earlier today, saying that it was good business for WWE to counter program AEW, and that Triple H and Nick Khan knew exactly what they were doing. So take that however you will. Obviously, there was some MJF in character work being done there at the same time. Crazy shit. Well, let's jump in, man. Let's talk about the week that was in pro wrestling. And let's start with the snooze fest that was SmackDown.
You know, I forgot I watched it.
Yeah, pretty much. The only thing that was really of note was the presentation for Solo Sikoa. I can definitely get behind it.
Looks like his nose is taking a detour.
Yeah, man. And, they're portraying him like a freaking mob boss, dude. He's got JC Mateo. We got Tangaloa. You got Tala Tonga back there. Yeah. Interesting shit, man. Did you happen to check out SmackDown?
Yeah. So here's the thing with SmackDown. That was the only interesting part, but it's going to be what we're going to see for a while. You're going to see the Jimmy Uso get the crap kicked out of him. You're going to see Jacob Fatu get the crap kicked out of him. They're going to have a bloodline civil fucking war. Just get it over with.
Weren't you talking about that like 6 months ago?
Dude, I called it. Now, here is the only question. If we are going under the assumption that Sami Zayn is on his own solo path, then he will not be in it. It needs to be blood out, blood in, blood out. That's what you need to call it. Yeah. You need to, it's going to happen in November.
Yep.
You fight along up to Warp Games, and you will have blood in, blood out, bloodline civil war, winner controls the family. And you have to have, but Rob, you can't do this. He's got so many other important things to do when he comes in. Fuck you. Roman Reigns, the Usos, Jacob Fatu on one side.
Yep.
Then on the other side, some iteration of the pairings you've seen with either JC Mateo or Tama Tonga should he return.
Yeah.
Okay. This is easy. Now, let's say you do. Let's say you do. No. Marcus, no. I'm going to tell you what, no. No. The reason why you don't do The Rock as a surprise referee is because he would be aligned to Roman Reigns. He doesn't care about these guys from New Japan Pro Wrestling. He doesn't give a flying fuck about NJPW. He might wear the T-shirt, but it will be you add Sami Zayn, and then you have 5 versus 5. You could do it that way. But yes, that's how you do it. And it's got to be War Games. 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 And now, our own Matt Michaels and I talked about this behind the scenes. And Matt's idea is Roman Reigns is too important for that. Now, he's being repackaged. And his mic skills have improved. He doesn't need Paul Heyman. He comes back and he reforms the original Bloodline. OG Bloodline versus New Bloods. This is so fucking easy! New Bloods. OG Bloodline.
And Marcus says, and that's where you do the swerve. The Rock comes out as an NJPW partner and sides with the New Japan guys.
I don't want to see The Rock for a while.
I don't want to see The Rock either, man.
He burned his bridge in such a tremendous way, and he made it clear to everybody that he does not give a fuck about the product. And right. You go, oh, well, how could you say that? How could you say that? He doesn't care about the – well, you know, I spoke to Ari, and Ari said, could you get your ass out there and maybe do something for the people? And I said, why not? I've got 10 minutes to burn. Hey, by the way, it's all the work. Yeah. Fuck you, Rock. Hold on. No. Because The Rock would have had enough sense not to do that. Fuck you, Dwayne.
There you go.
Moving on.
Moving on. So – moving on as well in shows, let's talk a bit about Raw from, Monday. Obviously, you had the match with Penta and Seth Rollins, and I'll be damned if we didn't get, some run-ins, some craziness at the end of that one. And, what all did you... maybe talk about that match, or did you have anything on the rest of the stuff from Raw?
Well, the El Grande Americano, Marcus mentioned it. Yeah. El Grande Americano. Grande Americano is now Kaiser Wilhelm, whatever the fuck. And that's interesting. And you can hear when he talks, you can see here it's Kaiser.
El Grande Kaiser.
Yeah, all right. All right, cool. I like Michael Cole's going, wait a minute, that's not Chad Gable. Why do you keep saying it's Chad Gable? They're selling the mask as the Chad Gable Grande Americano mask in the shop WWE. I'm holding it. It's one of those jokes that they just won't drop. And I don't get a payoff for this. I don't know why. They've made it that Monday Night Raw is this show where they do like comic relief bullshit.
Yes. Yeah, I've noticed that too.
And by the way, what happened to Mr. Ron Killings? Put respect on my name.
Right. Gone. Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found.
Gone. Knew that was gonna fucking happen. Gone. But back to Raw. You got Kaiser is a joke. And now he and you know what happens? He'll have one more comeback and it'll go nowhere and he'll be booted. Yeah. Okay, Sami Zayn is the plucky underdog. He doesn't work out. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. I liked how
You see where that got you? Laid out and injured by Cross.
Yeah. Now, but again, why is he fighting this fucking weird faction that doesn't have a name instead of fighting Karrion Kross? Why is Karrion Kross relegated to wielding a pipe? This is shitty. Kross,
or what's even worse is cutting a promo during a commercial segment. that he was extremely over for, and the crowd was chanting his fucking name during the promo. Yet you didn't see it because it was done during a commercial break on Netflix.
Here's my thing. What did he do backstage?
He got over organically. That's the problem. They didn't want him to get over, and he got over.
And they don't know what to do with it now.
The more they stay the same.
They don't, anytime, it's like with Bryan Danielson, and when they were forced to put the belt on him, and he won the triple threat match against Randy Orton and Batista. And you go, oh, we're going to make it look so painful. We want to make this look so painful that he won. We want to just give it to you to shut you up. And we're going to make it look obvious that he should not have won. And they still chanted for him. So they had to actually.
You're damn right we did. I was in that audience, man. That was epic.
And the yes thing. And they put Stephanie McMahon out there. When you put McMahon out there, Stephanie, she's obnoxious. She tries to impersonate her dad. She's annoying. She knows it. She leans into it. She's a good heel. However, when they had to call him the B plus player, he's one of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time.
No shit.
Calling him a B plus player when you've got Batista in the ring who's phoning it in. All right, fine.
Batista.
Yeah, right. So now you've got this scenario where they've got Michael Cole going, oh, the fans really are getting behind this guy. There's a groundswell. Shut him up. Muzzle him. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm so happy that he has the partner he does on commentary right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I never cared for Michael Cole Jr., but he deserves it. He put in the hours. I can't even remember his name. He's so fucking forgettable because he's Michael Cole Jr. in my eyes.
What? Are you talking about Pat McAfee?
No. He's not Michael Cole. No. Who does he have right back on Raw again? Who's the new?
I couldn't tell you, man. I couldn't tell you. I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. Does it even matter?
The commentators should matter. You notice on, and we'll get to it later, but that AEW took Shivani out of commentary on Wednesday. And they put in somebody good. They have a good balance there. They have Ian Riccaboni now, where Shivani used to be the third guy. Taz, Excalibur, Riccaboni. Perfect. Do not fuck with that. It's the right balance. Yes, you have Schiavone on Collision.
Yep.
And he's not bad with his pairing with Nigel McGuinness.
Exactly. Also, let's be real. A lot of times they tape Collision.
Yes.
So thus they can edit shit in post or
make him look
in and make him look better. Yeah.
Right. Now, but put up that thing for Raw right quick and let me fire through it. You have that image for Raw. I'm a scatterbrained person. Seth Rollins versus Penta El Cerro Miedo. Penta is going nowhere fast. Nope. He is being thrown into some big storylines. However, they're not about him.
Right.
They're about other people, and he's being used as a catalyst. Hence, you get L.A. Drake. We get to the women. Let's get to the new women's tag team champion, Roxanne Perez, right?
Yep.
Roxy. Another scenario. But she has mic skills, and they're building a good storyline around her, and she's endearing herself to the Judgment Day. They threw her into the Judgment Day because she had the goth look going on, so why the fuck not? If you wear black lipstick as a man or a woman, you will end up in the Judgment Day. But she's good.
Yes.
She's doing a good job. So in that instance, Kairi Sane, side person right now. She's there for the sake of being there. It will be Asuka and Kairi Sane versus, now, like I said, Roxanne Perez, I can't even remember her tag team partner's name because she's forgettable, unfortunately.
Raquel Rodriguez, but yes.
Exactly.
Completely forgettable.
Unfortunate. I feel bad for her. You know, Raquel Rodriguez looks like a frustrated mom who just wants her kid to do what she's asked. Like, could you just please, I just want you to do this one thing and just, oh, God, I got to go in there and fight Rhea Ripley. Can you please just help out? Raquel Rodriguez looks like somebody who needs help bringing groceries in. She's got this frustrated mom look on her face all the time. Forgettable. And she, even the way she holds the title, is like, two babies. She's just like, guys, you're leaving me with the belts. Why are you holding a vigil? Just bad. Terrible. Yeah. What else we got? We've got Sami Zayn getting speared through his boots.
Yep.
I'm tired of Sami Zayn.
Well, he's going to be off TV for a while. So there you go. They had him obviously with that beatdown that he took. They're actually looping that in and keeping him off TV. So they're going to have him sell that
entry. Here's what I want, because I'm such a simple folk and I'm a mark.
You should admit it.
So you have this guy injured, and you have this Bloodline Civil War. Who can we get as our fifth guy? Because all we have for is the Usos, Roman Reigns, and Jacob Fatu. Who will be our fifth guy? Let's go!
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's so fucking easy. And guess what? It'll be, you'll sell shirts and say Sammy Uso. You'll make a lot of fucking money. The place will go off the charts. You could do that faggy decibel thing you do. Everyone will be happy and you will all make money. Now, I'm stupid because I thought it was about.
At least you admit it.
You making money, WWE, and then making the fans happy. I thought that's what it was about. No,
it's supposedly.
Not. I thought supposedly. That's what it is. Like, that would be easy. He gets to rest, comes back with full energy. And also, if you wanted to shave off the stupid beard or make him look clean cut and give him a slight little turn, have him go retro, have him come out with the Kangol, you have so many avenues. So many goddamn avenues that you could do with him where he will have a fresh face, because he comes out with the red, the white, and the green, and, you know, low-key support in Palestine. And it, I don't mind all of that. I don't mind it, but it has, there has to be, I need a payoff. There's no payoff with him right now.
For anything.
He wins, I don't care. He's not Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson had some technical ability and the whole crowd was organically behind him, pushing a storyline together where WWE could not ignore it, because he even had catchphrases. He had a movement. He organically built something that had verbiage to it. You need attitude, error, energy. What is that, Rob? That is where you have catchphrases, audience participation. Sami Zayn doesn't have audience participation. And Sami Zayn is going, you know, and every time I fall down, I get back up. So what? I don't give a shit. You're not entertaining anymore. You need to either be with the Bloodline or with Kevin Owens. That's your lot in life. Sorry. Would you be a champion maybe in TNA? Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Would you be a champion in NJPW? Maybe. Yeah. AEW, no. Never AEW. They wouldn't know what to do with you.
TNT champion at best.
Right. So, and then, you know, but continue on to that list. Let's see the list again. Oh, Becky Lynch. She's holding on to that belt and treating it like she is the Women's World Heavyweight Champion. She's fighting Bayley, and Bayley is fighting some forgettable Irish chick, Lyra Valkyria. Who we had all
bird
the
chick.
What?
The bird chick.
Yeah. I liked her, but she has no mic skills. Zero. She is a little girl fighting women. It literally looks like she's fighting her mom and her aunt.
Shit.
That's the energy I get. It's a teenage daughter fighting her mom and her aunt for a mid prize. And they are fighting the way they are to try to put her over, but it's not working because they called her a bitch. She said, "You're a disappointment." A disappointment is the best your brain can come up with?
Exactly.
Who's writing for you? You two are a disappointment. Oi. Like,
what the fuck?
This is so. Oh my God. It's. If she is not willing to pull the trigger and really dig deep and say some shit from the gut, then I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately,
that's how I feel largely about the entire product of WWE right now, bro.
And you know how this changed, okay? It's like my Verizon service. My Verizon service a year ago was top of the line. I had connection everywhere. Now I'm on a date, and the person with me has got 3 bars, and I've got 1. Shit changes. And guess what? You know what will happen? A year will go by, and it will flip.
Yep.
The difference between this and Verizon, I have a contract with Verizon. I am a fan. I have no contract with any of you. I am not beholden to any of you.
Right.
And the problem is the AEW product is not that much better. It is better than it's been, but not great. There is nothing great, maybe TNA. But the problem is I'm watching these two programs. I'm not watching everything in between.
Yeah. Well, the big problem too is, you know, TNA is getting destroyed by NXT guys. You know, for the love of God, you've got an NXT guy rocking Trick the what's that?
Trick Williams down.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, even still, man, it's I don't know. It
because
you would hope that title changes and that they get it off a Trick, but you never know.
Well, now, and I won't get angry about that because they did it with Christian and they did it Kenny Omega, and
we definitely did.
We looked at it as an upgrade when it was on Kenny Omega's waist. I didn't look at it as a throwaway. I went, wow, Kenny Omega is on my fucking TNA TV. Right. This is awesome.
Because Kenny Omega has clout. He is justifiably, even at that point, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. As opposed to Trick Williams, who, yes, Trick can be great and probably will be great. But at the end of the day, he doesn't have a proven track record for years on end of main eventing. And he just doesn't have the aura that Kenny Omega did when he had that championship.
Now, Kenny Omega, for a lot of us newbies to him, who didn't see him extensively in NJPW.
Yeah.
He's bigger. He's not as lean. He still has great moves. Doesn't have the full head of hair that he does. He is an older Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
He has never disappointed in an AEW ring.
Right.
And when he was a heel, they broke that story and they ended it, and they did it at the right time. Right now, Kenny Omega is in a transitional position where he's holding on to a mid belt. Now, by comparison to Becky Lynch holding a mid belt, is he's elevating the belt by making it about ascending to meet his challenge, by which the other three on WWE with their Intercontinental Women's belt are bitterly fighting. It's not about the belt at all. It's just that these three women hate each other. And that takes away from the sportsmanship of it. The accolade is to ascend to get a title. And you place the value of that title based on the people who are fighting for it and why they are fighting for it. The Intercontinental Men's Belt is always an aspirational belt. This women's belt is being thrown around like a fucking kid. I don't like how they're doing it with the women. They're not adding value to the belt.
Yeah.
Also, when it comes to Julia and her belt, it's kind of a little dusty already. Already at that point where they've lost interest in it. So I'm losing interest in it. We're running up against the halfway point. Give me that logo one more time. I think there was two places left. I don't care about Mr. Tsunami, but at least he addressed the fact that he tsunamied the living shit out of Seth Rollins so many times that he respected him. But again, I don't care. And once again, I want to go up again to Bron Breakker. The fact that he cut his promo, and it was a good promo. Mm-hmm. Great promo from Bron Breakker. Great promo. And that Paul Heyman was wincing throughout the entire thing. I actually liked it. So, and Seth
Heyman is so good.
And Seth was constantly going, no. Good. You see what they did there? How intelligent the writing is. Paul Heyman's wincing because you're talking and you're cutting a promo over Boss Man's time. He winces. It's a good promo. Rollins goes, reads the crowd and is going, yeah, no, we like this. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Absolutely. That is good. That is good. And he says it. I'm going to be a champ. They're grooming me to be the champ. And then Heyman was like, well, I never said that. No, you did. Love it. Perfect. That part was perfect. Thumbs up. Good.
Yeah, man. And so obviously we pivot now to Wednesday. And we had Dynamite 300. And obviously, it was headlined by Kota Ibushi. Yeah. Really? Okay. So you didn't. What didn't you care for? Let's start there.
If you did not tell me it was a 300th episode,
yep,
I would not have known.
Agreed.
It was matches.
Yep.
They were matches. The location wasn't special.
Nope.
The amount of asses and seats was good. They didn't sell out. If you saw the upper decks, there were bodies in upper deck, so they didn't have to do that embarrassing camera pan bullshit.
Yep.
Better. Happy. Love it. But the matches were bland.
Okay.
I didn't. Mercedes Moné, Mina Shirakawa. You took me to my limits. Mm.
Did she though? I mean, realistically, no one thought that Mina was going to be winning that match.
No.
You would lose any and all, I don't want to say hype, but you would lose Mystique for the women's championship match coming up at All In if Mercedes got her first loss given to her by, of all people, and no offense to her, but Mina Shirakawa.
No.
Now,
Mina Shirakawa is a filler.
Now you can go into All In and you have the undefeated Mercedes Moné challenging for Toni Storm's women's championship. And realistically, I mean, if the belt collector thing continues and you give Mercedes the win, what do you do for that TBS championship? Where does she go from there, you know?
Easy. I'm going to say this. You give her the win because Timeless Toni Storm has a shelf life. Timeless Toni Storm has a fucking meltdown, and then she reverts into herself, and she broke the fourth wall once already when she impersonated herself for 2 weeks. That was clever writing, but you have to have an exit strategy for Timeless Toni Storm. I'm a Trump impersonator. The motherfucker one day is not going to be president. He's either going to leave or die or God knows what. Who the fuck cares? You have to have an exit strategy. It's wrestling, and wrestling is a lot faster because it's every week. Every week, every week, every week. Got to keep it fresh. Gives her a chance to rest. Give her a month off. Give her 2 months off. Or have her go in reverse where she's like, I'm going nutty, nutter butter. And then she reverts. Okay. Maybe she can make a new character. Who knows? Give me that beautiful footage. Let me see what we're looking at. Going clockwise. MJF versus X tag team buddies. What the fuck? Anthony Bowens. Fuck. Fox. Don't give a shit. And what's his name? He robbed the name from somebody else. Brody King. Don't give a shit about any of these guys.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
And the entire match is just MVP screaming at MJF.
Of course. But we all knew how this match was going to end. MJF picks up the win and becomes entrant number two in the Casino Gauntlet match, where he's going to be starting things off versus Mark Briscoe. I mean, realistically, you could have seen it coming from a mile away. It is what it is, but let's take a look at the other. What?
This is why I'm yawning.
Yeah. The other three people in the match, Brody King, realistically, he's not doing anything. Anthony Bowens, they're trying to do stuff with him, but he is not over. AR Fox is there to take the fall. We all knew it. And the second that he, started hitting big move after big move, you just knew how things were going to go. And MJF ends up snaking in, getting the tap out win with, the salt of the earth arm bar. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah.
All right. Kota Ibushi.
Yep.
Kazuchika Okada. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The Don Callis family, we're not going to let this happen.
Yeah. Dude, I'll tell you, though, the thing is, Okada, he gave us glimpses and flashes of New Japan Okada in this match. It wasn't all the way there because, let's be real, his effort has not been what it has been in the past. Nonetheless, I don't think that this match was so much about the match itself as it was about the post-match. Because obviously you had Okada pick up the win to keep him strong for his match with Omega. And then you had the family, interfere and beat the shit out of Ibushi. When who comes out to make the save but a returning Kenny Omega, who's been off TV for a couple of weeks. Why not? Realistically, you're going to have the family out there to support Okada. You might as well give Omega Ibushi. Yeah.
All right.
I get it. Yeah.
Heroes versus villains, because we're plugging a shitty Superman movie.
Hey, man. But the thing is, really quick, before you say anything, how many times have we said, AEW needs to do more cross promotion? They need to do more promotion. They need to do this. They need to do that. And honestly, I am all for this shit because you have the stars of the Superman movie on the show. You had them shooting footage, not just for this show, with them, with Tony Storm and with Kenny Omega. But I'm all for it, dude.
I have no problem with that. Don't want to. I'm not complaining about that. What did I say with this regards to this particular match? You are doing something that is not related to the final product. The final product is all in. Is Sin Cara, Mystico, and Black Taurus.
No, sorry, sir. That was, it's Drelistico.
Drelistico.
It's definitely not Mystico.
Sorry about that. You're correct. My fault. Same fucking mask. A brain fart, because Mystico is a face, face.
Yeah.
But are those guys? But see, you know what? That's a problem. It's my fault. I made that mistake, but it also shows you how I know nothing of these two people.
Yeah.
Black Taurus, whoever the fuck, let's just say Mercedes Moné's boyfriend.
Mortos, yeah. Mortos and Drew
Beast Mortos. The Death Beast.
Yep.
It's not that they're not good wrestlers. In my eyes, the Beast Mortos was never better than when he was in, not counting anything he did in any AAA or CMLL or wherever. But in America, the best he's ever been was as part of the Unit Decay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
They used him well as a replacement for Abyss. Yep. And think my attitude is, if I can remember Abyss from 10 years back in Decay with this dude, or 7 seasons ago, whatever, how long back it was, what does that say that sticks out of my mind more than what you're doing right now? You have been used as a fall guy for Hologram, to put Hologram over. And I'll be honest, he has no persona. And luchadors have personas in America. Okay? The Lucha Brothers have personas. When Pentagon Jr. came out, and again, oh, you're a TNA mark. When he came out in TNA with the big black tongue and all that weird shit he did, and I was like, wow, I got to watch for the last 10 years this guy's career elevate. And it did elevate at AEW. Do not want to take anything away from him. What he did in AEW, his career elevated. I think he's plateaued to WWE because they threw him at the wall too fucking fast. And the idea that now his English is decent enough. I like that he had Alex Abrahantes. I like that he had a hype guy bouncing around. I didn't care for Death Triangle, but the Lucha Brothers on their own as a tag team, fucking incredible.
Oh, they could
wipe the floor with the tag garbage going around right now. And that includes Motor City Machine Guns, who are your dad's favorite wrestlers. Oh,
pretty much.
Oh, God. How embarrassing. And I knew something was up with them when they went on AEW and bounced around with big smiles on their faces and nobody knew who they were. I was like, ooh. Yeah. Now, I've met Chris Sabin. Am I a mark because I've met somebody? No. He could tell you. Hold on, I have my camera. He could tell you. That doesn't mean shit to me. But at TNA, big fish, little pond syndrome. And WWE, they've fared better in WWE than AEW, but now they're in this SmackDown pool. It's a SmackDown cesspool of tag teams and the War Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely treading water at best, man.
So these guys now need to get over there, take those tag belts, bait the fuck out of everyone. Yay. But these two guys over here, these two guys have fought Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay, who the fuck are they? They're nobody. It was a throwaway match. It was a filler match when there shouldn't have been a filler match.
Of course, because you have to show what Swerve and Ospreay can do leading into the tag match at All In.
Wait a minute. There's another way you do that. You have them cut a promo. Then two guys interrupt them. It's their opponents. They have a pull apart. They have an impromptu fight like they did a couple of months back when they were hanging on. Remember, it was Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega. They were dangling on the fucking... Cool. You do it again. You just have a fight. You have a street fight. You have an impromptu street fight. They break it up in a few minutes. Yay. I don't need to see what these guys can do. I don't want to know what these guys can do as a tag team. I want to be surprised. I want the conversation going into All In going, are these guys going to be able to coexist? Whoa, look at the move they pulled off. Whoa, they're really in sync. Oh my God. Oh, great. Make me happy. Make me surprised. Do not just fucking... So this is a porno that you're watching, and at the end of it, some chick's going to get a load on her face. Oh, I thought this was like a movie. No, it's not. just, you know, you already know what's coming, and we're going to show you. We're going to give you the teaser right now. I don't want a teaser. I want to be surprised. And then we have our heroes and villains again, and we've got Kyle O'Reilly and Bandido. Yes, did I get that luchador right?
Yes, you did.
Oh, look at that. Because he's somewhat memorable. And Roderick Strong versus
Takeshita and the Young Bucks.
Konosuke Takeshita. Mm-hmm. And the Young Bucks, who are not even wearing their own sneakers anymore. I've got Roppongi Vice. I've got Lance Archer. I've got Kyle Fletcher. I've got deep, deep pockets of wrestlers that could just go in and interrupt matches.
Okay.
Don't care.
Yeah. So ultimately, the main reason why the Bucks were on the show, though, obviously this show came from Ontario, California. So we're looking,
Rancho Cucamonga.
Yep. Yep. Young Bucks hometown. So you had to figure they had to be on the show in some way, shape, or form. So that was that. But yeah, man, honestly, I know that you weren't a fan of this episode of Dynamite. I thought that it was pretty entertaining. So to each his own. And I do have to say, though, did you happen to see Collision?
Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio friggin' Sky. Yes, he did come out to answer the Max Caster Open Challenge. And yeah. Scorpio looked great, man. He came out with Christopher Daniels and Top Flight because clearly those guys aren't doing anything on AEW TV. So why not group these guys all together? And Scorp came out with Dodgers-inspired gear and had a bit of a Rocky thing going on. What do you think, man? Where do we go from here with Scorpio Sky?
The son of a bitch doesn't have mic skills. But he looks amazing.
Yes.
He looks the part. And he has charisma in ring, but not on the mic. So I want to see some combination of Christopher Daniels. We said this off air. Christopher Daniels, you fuckhead. Stop doing this EVP-esque bullshit. Go back to you with the martini glass and the glove missing the middle finger. Read between the lines. That's what I need from you. I need you to be your most charismatic self. You do have mic skills.
Yes.
You're fucking excellent on the mic, okay? You polish that mic like no one's business. Good job, okay? Now, do it again, because this guy needs a manager. You need to be his SCU manager. You need to call this SCU Light, SCU Junior, or just call it SCU. Get Frankie Kazarian out of AEW retirement. Bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And regardless, we'll see where Scorpio goes from here. But, the other major thing that I have to talk about with Collision 100, which, by the way, is interesting in itself, that they have reached 100 episodes on Collision. The other major thing out of this show was FTR versus the Outrunners, man. This match was fucking good. It was great, I would so venture to say. The crowd was amped for it. They've been building this match for weeks. I mean, realistically, Rob, this is the type of shit that you do, is you should have storylines that are working from show to show and week to week that don't always have to culminate on pay-per-view. This match did what it needed to do, accomplished everything that it needed to accomplish, and of course you had the chicanery from Stokely preventing the pin from being broken up, and FTR picks up the needed win, keeps them strong. Dude, honestly, would you believe me if I told you that these guys, FTR, they don't have a match at AEW's biggest show of the year, All In.
Do we know that for certain that they're not going to be in?
Well, unless they're being added to, let's say, the tag team championship match, which is currently a three-way.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But you know, the other thing on this show, it did happen that Shelton Benjamin faced Kevin Knight and Nick Wayne. And this was a pretty solid match too, but Kevin Knight, they actually gave Kevin Knight the pinfall victory over Shelton Benjamin. And then they set it up to being a three-way for the tag titles with obviously Jet Speed versus the Hurt Syndicate, and also throwing in Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I'm not trying to spout spoilers, but they have had father and son tag team championship belts pre-made in AEW, and they've had them made for months at this point. So
wait. How did you know about that? I have not heard of this.
That's on the internet, my friend. So
we know that it's going to be Christian Cage. And
so you might think that, but ultimately they've had them made for months. So I don't know if this was the plan for All In or if this was supposed to happen earlier. But realistically, let's be honest about this too. It's a three-way. So Christian, for instance, could end up pinning one of the members of Jet Speed. That would take the titles off of the Hurt Syndicate, keep them strong. I'm never a fan of champions losing their titles without being pinned, but that's definitely one way that they could go about this shit.
Which is what they did tonight, or that night. That's what they did, because Nick Wayne was the one who tried to finish Benjamin off. And then Knight rolled him off and you know, he did a slam on Nick Wayne, who did the slam on Benjamin. Nick Wayne, and by the way, Nick Wayne is really good in the ring.
Dude, yes. And especially with how young he is, he's going to be very special.
He's so smooth in the ring, and he's such a good in-ring actor. When he was trying to punch Shelton Benjamin from behind, and then Benjamin turned around, and he just went, whoop! He danced out of the ring. He's so good. He's really fucking good. And he looks like some local fucking, he looks like somebody that you would see at an FSW show. In other words, somebody who's thinner, not built up yet, very lean, learning. No, he is thin, not very defined, but he also is kind of braver because he looks like he's got about the same muscle tone as Dominic Mysterio. But he's putting it out there. He puts it out there. He comes out, you know, shirtless, puts out a good show. He's insanely technical. I mean, it's everything that you want.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good. Excellent, excellent guy. And the mom being there, I'm getting a little tired of that. As Mrs. Wayne, I'm getting tired of Mrs. Wayne. She's just, to me, is not needed. And then you know, Chris, oh, I banged your mom and blah, blah, blah. And I am your daddy and blah, blah. I'm like, it's pervy enough. And the mom being there, and she's a mom. I can't even think of her as in terms of being hot. She's a mom.
She fucking is though, bro.
She's okay. She's got MILF energy, I suppose. But then, you know, have her come out half naked then. I don't know what to tell you. Just like, you know. She's got too many clothes on, you know. It's telling me that there's a lot of gravity going on underneath.
Oh, jeez.
let's call it what it is. Maybe a few blue veins here and there, you know. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, you know, all of that stuff, and also we did have a what ended up being a number one contenders match for the TNT title as Kyle Fletcher faced Daniel Garcia. Fletcher obviously picked up the win. And ended up hanging out in the Fletchlight section during that match. So I guess that's going to become a thing.
God, it took me a second. Jesus Christ. Oh, God damn. Guy takes after my own heart right there.
Right?
The Fletchlight section.
Fletchlight section. And obviously, with this being the final All In or the final Dynamite before All In, we got you know, the go home show is taking shape. You got the Mark Briscoe and MJF talkie talk segment. You've got the all-star eight-man tag, and don't get me mistaken. Seemingly, we've been doing a lot of all-star eight-man tags, which mean we're just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks and putting people in random matches. I've never been a fan of it, but we're continuing to do it here on Dynamite, as you've got the Young Bucks, Moxley and Claudio, versus two out of the three members of the Ops, Shibata and Powerhouse Hobbs, teaming with Will Ospreay and Hangman Page. That's definitely a lot of combustible elements right there for sure. And down there at the bottom left, you also see the third member of the Ops, Samoa Joe, going one-on-one with Wheeler Yuta. Oh, man, I got to say this. It ain't going to be a good night to be Wheeler Yuta. I just got this feeling. It's, yeah, he's going to get his ass beat.
The idea is you can't see his eyes, the hair, the fucking ridiculous beard. They're trying to make him look hardcore.
They're trying.
He doesn't look hardcore. You know what I think I'm going to say? If you cleaned him up, had him come out in a damn suit, completely shaved, just vicious, like an MJF style, I think I could get behind that.
Yuta?
Yes. If you cleaned him up, I could get behind him. I think he's not horrible on the mic.
He's not horrible. I'll tell you this, man. Dude's a heat magnet, though. People fucking hate him. And also on this show, though, we've got a women's four-way to determine the number two entrant in the women's casino gauntlet match.
Did you say a Megan four-way?
Yes, you got a four-way with Megan Bain, Ty Mello, Queen Aminata, and Tekla. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's what I need. You're my friend, right?
Of course.
When is that airing? I only need hospital. I only need ambulance on standby.
Pretty much.
You know, just, you know.
Extreme dehydration.
Oh, my God. You're going to hear popping sounds. Oh my goodness.
Right.
And then again, timeless Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné. They got that
final face to face. So they've been, dancing around it and getting some shots in on one another, but they're going to be doing one more face to face promo this coming week. So see where that goes.
Okay.
But, I do have to say, at least they're not doing the bullshit contract signing.
No.
And obviously, this is all leading to Y'all in Texas, where we're going to be seeing quite a decent show taking place here, man. So you've got number one. I do have to say this as well: over 20,000 tickets sold here in the U.S., which they have now passed their event at Arthur Ashe for the highest number of tickets that they've sold in a U.S. show. So props to them, man.
But how many seats?
As of 4 days ago, it was just under 21,000.
But how many seats are still available?
So they have, 30? I believe, yeah, they've set up the arena for 25K. So they still can put 5K more into the stands.
When's the show? It's going to be in a few weeks, 2 weeks.
Saturday.
Back. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right.
It is Saturday, sir. So, what were you about to say?
Yeah, so they're not filling that stadium up, though.
No, they're not going to. Anyway, Let's just run around the card here. You've got Jon Moxley and Hangman Adam Page in a Texas death match. You've got Timeless Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné for the AEW Women's World Championship. You have Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega for the AEW Unified Championship. The Young Bucks versus Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay. And if the Bucks win, then Swerve and Will cannot challenge for the AEW World Championship for 1 year. If Ospreay and Strickland win, then the Bucks have to give up their EVP titles. Elsewhere, you've got the casino gauntlet matches, both men and women. Mark Briscoe and MJF. For some weird reason, they're also advertising Mystico for this match. So that leads me to believe that there's more than meets the eye with Mystico being involved in this match. I don't think he's going to win it, but you know, I think we might have something somewhere. Oh, wait, that's right. All right, so the over-under lock of the week is not that Mystico wins this match, but it's very easy to sit here and say that, oh, MJF is the odds-on favorite to win this Casino Gauntlet match, but he will not. And the betting odds say accordingly. An overwhelming favorite, put the house on it. Mystico will cost MJF this match. Whether he influences the final fall remains to be seen, but he will stop MJF from getting this title shot and thus continuing their feud, because as we saw, he showed up in MLW last week. And by he, I mean MJF. He showed up and beat the shit out of Mystico, and they did not even reference it on AEW TV. So it wouldn't surprise me if they do mention it this week to kind of set the stage. But yeah, Mystico is going to be involved, and he's going to cost MJF this title opportunity for sure. So, as for the rest of y'all in, we mentioned the three-way tag match. Patriarchy versus the Hurt Syndicate versus Jet Speed, and Adam Cole versus Kyle Fletcher. And, you know, let's do this, man. Let's do a little quick prediction. Who do you got for these matches?
I'll do the fast rundown. That fair?
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. Paige wins. It'll be a lot of chicanery, but Paige will win. Everyone wants that. Moving on from there, Monet wins, gives you time for Tony Storm to reset. Omega wins. Why? Okada's ability to really communicate well, he needs a reset too, unless he goes even fuller behind Don Callis. But I see Omega winning. Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay will lose. You'll have a year for them to feud over it. There is that such a weak stipulation that they're clearly going to lose. Briscoe versus MJF. Mystico fucks MJF over, Briscoe wins. It's a meaningless match. For a world title shot, yeah, Briscoe can do more with it than MJF can. Unless...
Now, keep in mind, that's the Casino Gauntlet match. So, yeah. Random entrance at random times. And, we could see some returns. We could see some debuts. So keep that in mind.
It's possible because MJF does want to be in title contention again. So unless somebody advocates on his behalf, he loses because of Mystico. The women's gauntlet match for a guaranteed world title shot. I don't remember all the women in that one or if we mentioned that. Did we mention that?
The only person that has been named was Chris Statlander, who won a match last week. 2 weeks ago, to be the number one entrant. This coming week, we've got that four-way with Bane, Mello, Aminata, and Tekla to determine who number two is.
All right, so it's not going to be Stat. Moving on. All in Jet Speed. No, they're there to look good. They're there to look good in the ring, but they have no communication ability. The Patriarchy, yes. Because of the what you mentioned, but also it would make sense because there's been a lot of tension between the two of them. So for them to be tag champions will eventually lead to them losing the belt, and there will be a fight over that. That there's so much more story you can use with that. Adam Cole versus Kyle Fletcher. Fletcher wins. Cole's had his moment. Fletcher's hot. He's over with the crowd, and Cole is really, really, really stale. You know, the Paragon? That's such a shitty name. What a crappy name for a group that already had a name. Undisputed Kingdom was good. It was a cool name. Great. Undisputed Era. Great. I get what you did there. Oh, you can't keep that momentum going anymore. All right. I hate to say it. I think Cole's only chance of relevancy is to go back to WWE.
I hate to agree with you at this point, but yeah, he has almost negative aura at this point, which if you would have asked me 5 years ago, if Adam Cole would be where he is right now in AEW and get the reactions that he gets. Now, granted, people still love him during his entrance, but after that, that's it. Like it's crazy to me.
When you have to cut promos, why can't people stop paying attention to my body and look at my body of work? So you're flabby and flappy, but they want to put you on because you have mic skills. Okay. Story time with Adam Cole, baby. Dude, you came in. You were not one of the hottest factions when you got in. You had the hottest girlfriend. You had everything going for you. His top in the company was him teaming with MJF.
Yeah.
That was the best he could ever do. And then that flaccid, limp dick. Don't hurt him! Don't hurt him! Don't hurt him! It was me. I'm a bad guy. Yeah. And then he comes back. You know what, MJF? You're a bully. You're a heel. No. When he left, you were the heel.
Exactly.
And he's a heel because you were a heel. And now you're neither. You just exist. Yeah. That's the worst thing in this industry, is to just exist.
Agreed. Agreed, man. And, as far as just existing, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the other shows going on this coming weekend. Saturday night's main event, you've got Gunther versus Goldberg. You've got Seth Rollins versus LA Knight. And you've got Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. Who you got in any of these matches, and does it even matter?
None of it matters. Gunther's not going to lose to a guy who's retiring. You know, and it was not even a retirement. He came out with one shirt. He showed up in a 71 fucking Chevelle, and he looked all hard. That was pretty dope. He did that power slide into the place, and Gunther gulped. But it doesn't matter. He's going to win. Maybe Seth Rollins will try to dick around with that match, but I doubt it. Randy Orton versus Sheamus Black. I fucking don't care.
Sheamus fucking Black.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, Drew McIntyre, I don't give two shits about anything you do. But he had such a great 2024. His whole 2024 was he lost over and over and over and over again. But then he produced some of his best work. I guess.
Yeah.
But eventually, you got to have something to show for it. Now here's the thing. As an entertainer, anytime that you get TV time and you get on the ring, look, we're talking about how bad we want Karrion Kross to get as much time as they're throwing away to Drew McIntyre for free. Yeah. So what I would rather have seen a fucking main event with Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross. Yes.
Or just somewhere else on the show.
Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre? What is this, nostalgia? What is this nostalgia for these fucking PG guys?
Yeah.
Dude. Now, you know what was really more entertaining with Drew McIntyre? Watching him dance at Jinder Mahal's wedding was more entertaining. And by the way, watch that video. While that's happening, Rich, I think Rich Swann's over there, and he gives somebody a super kick. You see somebody get a super kick in the middle of the as they're doing the dance thing. But that's the thing. If the most entertaining thing is 3MB at a wedding in Mumbai versus your actual match,
that's when you know.
Okay. Now, here's another one. He's got the look. He has Mike skills. Drew McIntyre has all the right shit. They did not give him anything because they want him to chase. So they spent the entire 2024 having him chase. He gets the belt for 2 seconds, loses it because of CM Punk. A lot of chicanery. And you go, all right. He was a shitty babyface champion. He was corny when he was champion. That's what they did to him. As a heel champion, fuck, he would have been gold. Right. You didn't bloody well deserve to get the belt. I'm bloody Sheamus Black. You'll never get this belt. Good. Have him play keep away a la Miz? Fuck yeah, I would have gotten all behind that.
Hell yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. You know, speaking of the championships, there is also another show this weekend. Evolution 2. So you've got Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. You've got Tiffany Stratton versus Trish Stratus. You've got the four-way women's tag team title match, Raquel and Roxanne versus Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. First off, what the fuck is with that team? Anyway, Sol Ruka and Zarya, and then the Kabuki Warriors are in there as well. You've also got the Women's Intercontinental Championship, Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Lyra Valkyria, NXT Women's Championship, JC Jane versus Jordan Grace, No Holds Barred, Naomi versus Jade Cargill, and you've got the Battle Royal, which is going to include names like Stephanie Vaquer, Nikki Bella, Jada Parker, Izzy Dame, Kalani Jordan, Lola Vice, Tatum Paxley, Lash Legend, and many, many more.
All right. Throw that up right now one more time.
Yeah.
Give me counterclockwise. We will start out with my girl, Jade Cargill. This could go really bad, or it could be her defining moment. She knows that now. And Naomi is a legend, future Hall of Famer. Naomi will do everything in her power to make this go well. But I look at Jade Cargill's haphazard. And a no-holds-bar match is a botchlandia waiting to happen. Number one. Number dos. You've got the four-way tag thing going on. The other tags, it's obviously going to be Natalya and Maxine Dupri as one of those tags.
No. So you've got... Raquel and Roxanne, Alexa and Charlotte, Sol Ruka and Zarya from NXT, and the Kabuki Warriors, Kairi Sane and Asuka.
Wait a minute. So then what the fuck have they been pushing this every Monday Night Raw? They keep going, Maxine, Natalya, you are going to be a great tag team. You should go talk to Adam Pearce and be a tag team.
They might be a tag team, but they ain't on this show unless.
All right. Because you had the logo was black on the other two. Yep. So I'm like, all right. JC Jane, you getting your ass beat, woman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we've got. No, she doesn't lose. I'm going to tell you why she's not going to lose. Kabuki Warriors get gold. Maybe, although I think it's going to be SmackDown. I think it's going to be the blonde women get the gold, and then they get to have gold. But you keep it on Io Sky, because if you give it to Io Sky, people are now lining up to fight her. I see a very angry after losing her tag team titles. Raquel Rodriguez beating the shit out of Mommy and costing her her shot.
Okay. There you go.
That's the most logical thing. The evolution thing. All right. Obviously, nothing's going to happen there. They're just going to try to put over Trish Stratus to make her look good. Put some oil on the knees, on the joints.
Yeah. Tiffany's going to win that.
No fucking around. Tiffany went straight up. Now, the three-way match, the battle of the bitch lashes. It's the bitch lasses. You bitch lass son of a bitch. whiny three women whose periods all lined up. Oh, God, that's sexist, misogynist. It's garbage. How could you say that? Because that's the way they framed it. It's unfortunately the way they framed it. Matt Michaels would be having a fucking, you know, explosion right now. He's probably jizzing the fucking LGBTQ flag right now. Oh, my God, Rob, we're going to be canceled. No one's watching. I kid. I don't care. You have made this so unsavory and not about the belt that I don't fucking care. I don't care which one of you wins, but if I have to pick somebody who I would like to win, Bailey. Why? Because it takes that tension and ratchets it up 1,000 yards. And great, now everyone's fighting for this belt, and maybe the belt will be the star and not these three women, because all three of them right now are boring. And then we get back to Jade Cargill. I never gave an answer on this one. There's no winner in this, because Jade Cargill wins. She doesn't get any love off it. She needs to have a mic sesh. She needs to have a breakout mic session. So it doesn't do anything for her. And proceed with caution. Her catchphrase is fucking awful, but she's doing the best work she's done. I hate the proceed with caution, or at least the way she delivers it, so mechanical. If she wins, it would cause Jade to chase after her and cost her down the line at a key moment. So
it like maybe always, when she's cashing in?
Yeah, exactly. So that would be better.
Yeah.
That would be better. So, Jade, you need to lose. And also, it also reflects your ability right now. Yeah. You have zero mic skills. I was so hopeful. I wanted it to be you. You have the look. You have the strength. But I must apologize to my friend here and all the guys who've been on this show. You were right. She should have went to NXT first. But fuck you, Hunter. You set it up. You set her up to fail. You set her up to fail.
Clip that shit. If you're watching, clip that shit.
You set her up to fail. I still stand by why I thought she was going to be amazing was because Hunter gave us the appearance that she was going to be amazing, but you set that poor woman up to fail big time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. And, you know, speaking of big time, and we just got done talking about the women. So I think that there's only one person that can actually provide us the proper way to transition into another segment. That's right. I'm talking about
I don't have my hair. Hold on. The only thing I can do in this situation
is that different than any other time?
I'm going to go to my happy place.
Gotta love it.
And my inner
talking Bob there. Ross. Nice.
Okay. You know, you're so disrespectful, so rude. Why am I not suppressed? You know, he says he's a fan. He says that he likes what I'm doing. And then he's asking questions about Epstein and about islands and about little kids. This is so very disrespectful. Why are we still talking about this? Why is that even still a thing? I took a picture with the guy. He wanted to meet me. He wanted an autograph. I said, fine, you're fired. I said the catchphrase. I signed something. And that was it. Never saw the guy again. I know nothing about little kids. Number one. And, you know, let's not forget that yesterday BB came by. BB came to my house, the White House. Always been a White House. It's never been any other color but white. It's the only color you can make that house is to color it white. It's not a black house. It's not a brown house. It's not any other color but white. And that's fine. You know what? In America, we like white. White's good again. We're going to make white good again. We're going to make white special again. And we've got these women this weekend. I know it's about wrestling. These women are going to be wrestling for my entertainment. And we might have a future Mrs. Trump in the mix. Don't know. We're looking into it, right? Can we look into that to see? Maybe we get Jade Cargill. Hold on. We've got Jade Cargill. We've got Trish Stratus. No, she's been run through. We don't want Trish Stratus. Jade has kids. No, never mind. Nope, she's got kids. Not paying for any little bastards. We've got Jordan Grace.
Mr. President, I would think that you would be a Tiffany Stratton fan.
It's Tiffy time. I like that. You know what? I like where you're going with this. I like where you're going this. But Charlotte Flair. We like Charlotte Flair. She's strong, but she's been humbled a little bit. She has to wear the knee brace. And she's going to be using that knee brace a lot when she's in the White House. Believe me. Believe me, okay? She's going to need that knee brace. We're going to put her through her paces, and all night long, all you're going to hear is woo, 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 woo.
You're inviting Rick over?
Please. It's going to be so many chops, okay? But not chops in the chest, chops in the back, okay? She's going to be taking so many back chops. Billions and billions and billions of back chops all over her back. Okay. I want to see the evolution of Charlotte Flair in my bed. And she hasn't had any... I'm not done yet.
Hey. Someone stop the damn match.
Stop the damn match. Come on.
But, I think that now that we've heard from our president, I think it's time we take a dump. And starting us off, actually, interesting. I know that we just mentioned her in the previous segment, but Io Sky has not defended her title since WrestleMania 41, which was in April, for those keeping score. It is July. Just saying.
Language barrier.
Oh, Jesus. So speaking of MJF, he also showed back up on MLW again, and he met up with... former FSW heavyweight champion and current MLW star, Hammerstone. So you got to love that. So good shit there. Also, in a much different type of a note, and something that is not meant to be taken as humorous, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's Southern California home was actually burglarized earlier this morning. Hopefully everything is okay. And, man, above all else, whether you love these characters on TV or you hate them, you got to draw a line, man. It's a parasocial relationship and they don't know who you are. You might think you know absolutely everything about them, but hey, idiots, they're playing characters also. Keep that in mind.
Well, I want to jump in on this right quick.
Yeah.
There was a kid once who speared Seth Rollins at a live show. He was arrested. Yeah. And the next day he went on his podcast bragging, yeah, so I speared Colby Lopez and, Colby. And I'm like, dude, you didn't learn your lesson. I would have had the kid arrested right off spouting off on that podcast. I would have had him. I would have been like, oh, I see you didn't learn your lesson. WWE should have gone after that kid. I really hope they did and put a gag order out there and maybe give the kid some time. In this case, I'm hoping it wasn't some psycho fan. I'm hoping it was just a rando. But the reality is a lot of these guys are not not home most of the year. They're on the road. And you want to feel safe in your own place.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That's horrible. That's just fucking don't be that guy.
Yeah.
There's
no excuse.
Yeah, I leave here. I'm like, all right, I'm not like sitting in my, I don't have posters of all these people in every nook and cranny of my house with like candles going on, be chill.
Did you take them all down?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to take them all down.
Speaking of taken down, Tony Khan on the AEW All In media call that occurred earlier today actually stated, "I am the only person with creative control over the show. I've had the final say since day one. So thus putting to rest the rumors of Mercedes Moné and her creative control that the internet just can't seem to shut up about."
Well, that's bad. It makes him into Vince McMahon character, but real life, and that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Karrion Kross for a second here, who has officially, now that the numbers are final for June, Kross outsold John Cena, Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns in merch for June.
Now, he gets a cut of that, I'm hoping. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he, look, some people would go, "Hey, this is wonderful, because why would you care? You don't have to put your body on the line and blah, blah, blah." He's still doing house shows for damn certain.
Yeah.
He's still traveling. And by the way, traveling ain't cheap. Traveling is not cheap. In fact, a good chunk of their money goes into expenses for traveling. Like, yeah. If you want to see what the process is like, go watch Maven. He has a place.
His channel's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, "Oh, this is how they blade." No, it's okay. You get $5,000 a week from WWE. And you think, "Wow, I've got $5,000, but then I've got my bills. Great. Then I've got my hotel, my rooms, my this, my that, my workouts. Where am I going to train? Where am I going to do this? Where am I going to do that? Do I want to stay in a room with somebody? Well, if I don't, now it's more money." And on and on and on. It's not like the WWE books a Ramada Inn or a fucking Hotel 8 and everyone just says, "Oh, we're all going to be all participants of WWE Raw. Stay at the Clarion." No. You got to find a way to get there. You have to, you know, get your plane tickets. You have to book your rooms and your meals and everything. And after you're all done with that is what's left of you to take home. Yeah. So if you don't have some merch deal in place, you ain't making shit.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the harsh reality of the business, man. And speaking of not making money or not getting paid money, Brett Lauderdale, the owner of GCW, confirmed past payment delays to Fightful. And for those of you that are kind of arching your eyebrows, what in the hell are you talking about? So Brett Lauderdale and GCW, they run a lot of events on Triller. I have been fortunate to do the DeFalco Files with Joe DeFalco, the owner and creator of FSW here in Las Vegas. And he actually has been speaking about that for months. So they did shows and even as far back as December, and they have not gotten paid yet. So 7 months at this point. And he and Joe DeFalco, FSW, has not gotten paid for those shows. So much so that they are actually going to start broadcasting their FSW programming on the Title Match Network. And I'm not saying breaking from Triller, but they are exploring options. So it sounds like as if there's a lot of things going on with Triller right now.
So wait, so Brett Lauderdale of GCW controls Triller specifically?
No, he owns GCW. And he's stating that they haven't been paid by Triller for their on-air programming that they should have been paid for.
Oh,
so okay. Triller ain't paying people. Which realistically is probably why AEW is not broadcasting and airing their pay-per-views. Like, for instance, All In is usually, you know, they have their package with Triller. And, you know, I was looking to possibly use Triller to watch All In. You can't even use Triller to watch All In because I don't know for sure. But if Triller's not paying GCW, they're not paying FSW. It's pretty much a good guess that they're not paying AEW either. So, yeah, not good. Mm. Not good at all.
Interessante. Yeah. Interessante.
But, you know, speaking of more than meets the eye, this was actually tweeted out earlier today by Cody Rhodes, of all people. "Don't flinch. Thank you all for riding with me all this time. Love you for it. Excited for what we do next." Huh. Pretty interesting. You think a heel turn's coming? You think that he was told, "Hey, buddy, you've resisted it for years, but you're turning heel, and this is how it's going down."
Yeah, probably.
So that double turn scenario at SummerSlam could very well happen, where we see Cody Rhodes sell his soul to The Rock or sell his soul to Dwayne Johnson and join up with him, turning on Cena, taking the title, and thus Cena can actually finish his career as a babyface. Who knows? But, speaking of babies and baby faces and things that make people extremely happy, you mentioned her earlier, but Trish Stratus tweeting out an image saying your first crush is back. Dude, she still looks bad as fuck.
Wait, is that her now?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Yes. Yeah. This is what's going on right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Get that forearm workout going.
Oh my God. Dude,
it's crazy. And,
now get in your pig bucket of slop or you're fired.
You're fired. And, a new diva, if you will, if there ever was one, Blake Monroe, tweeting out, West Palm Bay. So, she's, relaxing by the pool. Gotta love it.
I'm suddenly hungry.
Yeah, no shit. And lastly, but definitely not least, this is pretty funny. Chris Statlander is the new EVE International Champion, and Mercedes Moné replies with just the looking emoji, to which the real Chris Statlander tweets, "Get away from me." So there you go, man.
That's good. That's really good. That's very good.
Gotta love that shit. So as we wrap up, Rob, let's get some final thoughts from you. Let's talk about some cameos. Let's talk about where people can see you do your thing.
Well, you know what? It's funny you should mention it. I'm somewhat prepared this time, and I'm going to pull up. I know, right? What a shocker. While we're saying this, I'm going to pull up my Instagram, and you can see me at, let's see. I'm on YouTube at Rob Bossolari Jr., Vegas Trump Guy, Facebook at Boss Comedy Rob, B-O-C-E Comedy Rob. Cameo is, now this one I don't like, but it's cameo.com/E/DOMA1KDG7LB. Go to my Instagram page, and it has all of my information right there. And this Saturday, we had our show at La Jolla. Thank you for the few who came out. We appreciate you. We're going to grow that show even bigger. The show after and during the 4th of July was tough because all places had light crowds. I was on New Woo stage, light crowd. I was at Dirty at 12:30. Didn't get to go on that one, but I was present, light crowd. But we know that you guys are going to come out big. So we will launch that information when we're going to have our next show. On Friday, we will be taping a commercial, that will be for a TV streaming service. And I will give you more information on, I think it's called Blink TV. So look for that. I'm going to be featured in a commercial with my guys from the Four Horsemen. So a lot of great things coming up. Just stay tuned to this channel for more.
Absolutely. Hell yeah, man. Nice job. And, thank you. Well, yeah, absolutely, man. And also I want to thank each and every one of you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys
PP
do.
Time.
We appreciate each and every one of you. It's almost PP time, but, before that, I do want to say thank you to all the brave men and women that are serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And yes, last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. Rob, we fucking made it again.
And I like the time, hour 30 just feels right.
Right? Exactly, like, man.
It's like half naked Trish Stratus. It just feels right.
You know, yeah, it absolutely
they
does.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Yeah, we definitely did hold back. Absolutely. But hold back. Anyway, guys, thank you for hanging out. And until next time, we will see you guys in the next episode.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.